Ramsey TV.
My paraphrase for God is conciliated to the world through Christ, my paraphrase would probably be, God's fine with you. God's good with you. God couldn't, even more than that, God couldn't be more pleased with you. You can't do anything to improve your standing with Him because He gave His best for you, His Son, when you were at your worst. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. He did His best for you at your worst. While we were still helpless, still infirm, still in accord with the era, Christ died for the helpless, for the infirm. Sent His Son. And because of that, God is completely pleased with us as though He's looking at His Son. Because we are now in His Son. So how can you improve upon perfection? How can you improve upon God couldn't think more highly of you? You can't improve upon that. It's like a talk I gave months ago. We start at the top of the mountain. We start where Christianity is straining to get, straining to arrive. Not just Christianity, but all religions are straining to arrive at this moral perfection. They want to become blameless in the flesh. We're already there. We start there simply by believing a declaration of God that there is a new humanity, that the old humanity was crucified with Christ. One died for the sake of all, consequently all died, and he who dies has been justified from sin. And we believe that. And it changes our entire life because it changes the way we think. If you want to change your life, you have to change the way you think. Because as a man thinks, so is he. Can you imagine going back to the way it was? Wondering if today you're pleasing God? Wondering if maybe today's the day that God's going to wreck you because you did something wrong or you had a bad thought? When we were Christians, we had good days and bad days. Now, we still have good days and bad days, but it has nothing to do with us being concerned about what God's opinion of us is. If you want to insult God in Christ, then prop up the old humanity and try to reform it. And that's what Christians do constantly. But the Israel message does encourage that. The Israel message is not one of revolution. It's one of reformation. It's not a new humanity. It's a born-again humanity. But it's still not based on human effort. It's still based on the work of Christ, but it's presented as a reformation by the words born again. There's a big difference between being born again and being a new humanity. Being born again for Israel, this is an Israel truth. It's a national message, being born again. It has nothing to do with individuals being born again. It's a national message, and it comes when Christ returns and puts a new heart in the corporate people of Israel. It still depends on God doing it through Christ. But Israel distinctions are still recognized. There you go. See? You still have that distinction in the flesh between Israelites and non-Israelites. That proves that Israel does not have new humanity truth. Only Paul. You only get this through Paul. Jesus didn't say everything. He didn't utter every truth when he was on the earth. He saved the greatest truth for Paul, and that's the truth we're looking into today, the conciliation of the world. Before I go on with 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 6 and other great passages, there's this lady that I know. And, you know, every now and then, whenever I come across her, I try to give her the truth. But she's stubborn as hell. Now, she's a fulfillment of Scripture. Romans 11:32, God locks up all together in stubbornness. Well, she's still there. But I think once in a while, because I like this person, well, maybe it's time for God to unlock her. You never know when God's going to unlock somebody or have mercy on them. Let me read the whole verse. Romans 11:32, God locks up altogether in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. When's he going to have mercy on this lady? At the consummation? No, maybe today. So I talked to her on occasion. And she does listen to me. But she has this pastor. And this pastor's name is Marie. And yeah, her pastor is a woman. Women screw things up just as bad as men can. And so she has Martin Sender on one hand talking to her. I have words of Aeonian life. I have words of truth concerning the conciliation of the world, concerning the death of the old humanity, concerning the sufficiency of the work of Christ, the complete sufficiency. I have knowledge of the death of Christ, which she doesn't know about. So Martin Sender on one hand, Marie from the Methodist Church or wherever it is, some organized religion, on the other hand. Choose this day whom you will serve. And she chooses Marie. And she actually told me that again the other day. I said to her, Janet, you don't believe anything I say. I keep talking to you. I keep giving you the truth. You don't believe it. That's because I believe Marie. And you know what? I'm going to tell her this soon. I'm going to say that's a fatal decision. You're making a fatal decision. That decision is going to cost you your life. Literally, it is during the tribulation. It's going to cost her her life to go with Marie, the product of the institution, cookie cutter Christian with all the standard issue doctrines of demons, eternal torment, free will, the Trinity, right down the line. Just bites every piece of satanic bait. Takes it in, swallows it, regurgitates it, and Janet sucks it all up. That tastes delicious. Oh, it's horrible. But it's been saccharinated by the systematizing of the deception. Another way of saying the systematizing of the deception is the saccharination of the cud. Taking this crap regurgitated by Satan and spicing it up and making it somewhat palatable to the human palate. It's disgusting. But anyway, that's her choice. But Martin, it's God's choice. Yeah, I know. I'm speaking relatively. It's her choice, right? God's causing her not to choose this teaching. I know that. Am I going to give up on her? No, because I really want to threaten her in a good way with Aeonian death. Because if you don't accept this message, Janet, before you die, you will suffer Aeonian death. And you'll go through the tribulation. Is that true? Yes, it's true. We need to start teaching like Christians, only with the right message. We're not threatening anybody with eternal torment, but we are threatening them with a legitimate threat. Paul does this. I'm following our apostle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He does that. Do I have to go there? I'll do it. You just watch me. I didn't mean to get on this because I want to get back on this truth about the new humanity, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I call this the unknown passage of Paul. So that we ourselves glory in you. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to go through this quickly, then I'm going to get to our topic. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the ecclesias of God, for your endurance and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions with which you are bearing, a display of the just judging of God, to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering also, if so be that it is just of God to repay affliction to those afflicting you. Paul's comforting these people who are being afflicted by saying, God's going to afflict those who are afflicting you. In other words, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And Paul said it to these people to comfort them. But we're afraid of that. Wow, we're too gracious. We're more gracious than Paul. We're more gracious than God. No, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. You can believe Marie over here from the First Trinity Baptist Church of Holy Hogwash. Oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine. It's going to cost you your life. And to you who are being afflicted, ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. This is the tribulation with his powerful messengers dealing in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our evangel. To obey is a two-part Greek word. It means to hear and to heed. To hear and to heed. Janet hears the evangel. She hears it, but she doesn't heed it. She doesn't believe it because the influence of Marie over here from the First Holy Baptist Church of Holy Hogwash is more palatable to her. It elevates the human. Doesn't know anything about peace of God because humans really don't want to hear about the peace of God because that takes away their accomplishment. And so she's being seduced by this human philosophy over here in the guise of a religion. And that's more attractive to her than the words of Martin Zander, which are ridiculous. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to exercise your free will. Even Adolf Hitler's going to get to heaven someday. Oh, I told her that. She hates that truth. I even told her about the judgment. I follow my own teaching. Oh, Hitler's going to get his ass kicked. He's going to suffer a fury and affliction at the great white throne. Oh, yeah, he's going to miss out on Eon 4. He's going to get his ass kicked at the great white throne. Probably not written in the book of life. Going to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Won't see the light of day until the consummation. But at that time, he will come into the life won for him by Jesus Christ. Oh, she hates that truth. Absolutely hates it. So this vengeance is for her. I'm going to tell her that. What do I got to lose except my friendship with her? Is it worth it? Yeah, it is. Dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall incur the justice of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord. By aeonian life. See, I have the words of aeonian life. You have the words of aeonian life. But we're such unlikely sources of that word. Just like Jesus Christ was the most unlikely source of that word. The Apostle Paul, the most unlikely source. The fishermen, then tax collectors, who are also the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most unlikely carriers of the words of aeonian life. And yet, there you were when Jesus Christ sent out his disciples to knock on the doors, and he did. He sent them out to Israel, said, go, just don't go to a road of the nations. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If they receive you, then bless that home. If they don't receive you, can you imagine Peter's knocking on your door? It's Peter. This is your opportunity, speaking relatively, because that's how it's laid out for us in the scriptures. This is your opportunity to believe the evangel of the kingdom. The Apostle Peter's at your door, and all of these Catholics who think, oh, they love Peter. Oh, they pray to Peter, even though he's dead. They pray to Mary, even though she's dead. They pray to all these saints, and they're sure that they're the best friends of Jesus. They love Jesus. They love Peter. They get all out of breath for James and the apostles of our Lord and for Mary. And yet, if Peter had knocked on the door as a smelly fisherman with no reputation, never been on a piece of stained glass in his life, these people would slam the door in his freaking face. And Jesus said, for those who slam the door in your face, shake the dust off your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that place right there. More tolerable because the truth came to them. That was their hour of visitation. Very serious thing, your hour of visitation. Not many people get an hour of visitation. Those who do are kind of in worse shape. If they don't receive it, they're in worse shape. Honestly, they're in worse shape. I mean, Janet is in terrible shape here because she met me. Terrible shape because she met me. Because the heat's on her now. She heard the message over and over and over again, so she has no excuse. And when the Lord confronts her at the great white throne, he'll say to her, Janet, you didn't love the truth. What do you mean, Lord? I went to Marie's church. And the Lord will say, you mean the First Baptist Church of Holy Hogwash? Yes, is that what it was? I thought it was. Oh, no, that's what it was. I love the truth, Lord. You remember Martin Zander? Yeah. You mean, yeah, that was the truth. But because the guy made some videos from his car, because he didn't have a degree, because he didn't have his own so-called church, you rejected him. And you fell for the seduction. You were seduced by the institution. You fell for Satan's lie. Because, Janet, you love tradition more than truth. You loved your own ideas about God. You looked scripture in the eye because Martin Zander brought it to you. And you hated it. And she won't be able to squirm out of it. She'll have to say, yes, Lord. And she'll look in the rearview mirror. Maybe they'll show her a highlight reel of Eon 4 that she missed. And she'll ask, Lord, how long have I been dead? You've been dead 1,000 years. Unbelievable. I wish I'd have believed Martin Sender. He had the words of Aeonian life. I'm not the only one. You also have the words of Aeonian life. And anyone you talk to, the heat's on for them. That's their hour of visitation. So I think I'm going to talk to her again. I'm going to lay it out again. But this time, I don't know if I ever said this exactly, that your life depends on this decision. Your Aeonian life depends on this decision. If you stay with your decision, you're going through the tribulation, and you won't see the light of day until the great white throne judgment. And you're going to have to hear the Lord say at the end of the tribulation, depart me, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. I don't want that for anyone. Don't want it for my son, but that's on the table. I don't want it for my friend, Janet. Don't want it for anybody. Let's see if I can get to the topic here with three quarters of the show gone. Talking about the conciliation of the world. I quoted, ended yesterday, consequently then, as it was through one offense, this is Romans 5:18, through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, that was Adam's sin. Thus also it is through one just award, one of the most unfortunate translations in the concordant version, for all mankind for life's justifying. It still carries across the truth that one man undid the work of Adam. I suppose it does it even better. That's Romans 5:18. I think Romans 5:19 is even better there. But I'm going to go back to that and show you why I think it's a bad translation just briefly. Romans 5:19 reads this way, the very next verse. For even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners, thus also through the obedience of the one, capital O, the many shall be constituted just. But Martin, why does it say many there? Because this is how exact scripture is. I asked myself that. Even through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners. Wait a minute. We know that everybody was constituted sinners. But we're leaving one man out, and that's the man through whom the sin came. Even as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were constituted sinners. Adam was the one that sinned, but everyone subsequent to him were the ones that were constituted sinners. That's how exact this is. It's accepting Adam, E-X-C-E-P-T-I-N-G. He is the exception to this. And the same thing here. Thus also through the obedience of the one, the many shall be constituted just. Jesus Christ doesn't need to be constituted just. He was just. So that's why the word many is every single person in the human race except one, Jesus Christ. And through the one, the many were constituted sinners. That's every single person in the human race except Adam, the one through whom the sin came. That's how precise this language is. That's how honest it is. Well, we can't say all here, even though it's every member of the human race besides Christ, we can't say all. We'd love to say all. God says to the angels, we would love to say all here, wouldn't we? Yes, Lord, we must say all. But we can, because the exception is Jesus Christ. So we're going to say many. And the angels will say, well, that's going to give the detractors of the great truth of the salvation of all, it's going to give them an excuse to say, well, it just says many, not all. And then you're going to have to make your workers, the people who believe this, try to explain it. No, it's every member of the human race except Jesus Christ. And God will say, God said, well, that's just how it has to be. They'll have to work extra hard. It'll be good for them. They'll get extra reward for explaining it that way. This is why it says the many, is that it's accepting the channel through whom the sin came and through whom the justification came. I mean, it should be self-evident in the first clause here, even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners. Obviously, everyone was constituted sinners. Why the many and not the all? Oh, we're accepting Adam. So take that truth, which is pretty easy to see there, take it to the second clause, through the obedience of the one, capital O, Jesus Christ, the many shall be constituted just. Jesus Christ doesn't need to be constituted just. I wonder if the many is the same all humanity, apart from the channels. Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is. Just award. It should be righteous effect. Through one righteous effect, the effect of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I explain why this translation is poor in the Concordant, and I explain my reasoning for righteous effect in the Romans series. I don't want to get into the details of that here. But the translating miscue does not detract from the truth, doesn't affect the underlying truth. As one act of Adam affects all humanity, so does one act of Christ affect the same humanity. Here's the question. But when does this life's justifying, the justifying of life, think about what that is. And the question is, when does that kick in? I'm going to answer that question, but first, through one just award for all mankind for life's justifying. Why didn't it say, like I said in verse 19, I'll remind you what Romans 5:19 says. We're kind of getting into the weeds a little bit here, but I know you love it. Even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many are constituted sinners, through the obedience of the one, the many shall be constituted just. Shall be constituted just. Why didn't it say justification here? Why did it say for life's justifying? It's more specific. Justification is a theological term, but life's justifying. Justified means right. It means things are right, just. That's the root word of justified. It means right. When you're lining up a writing in on your word processing program, your right margin justification lines up everything to a standard. So justification means right. Life's justified. Just think of this. Your life, your entire life has been justified. This is retroactive, baby. It doesn't matter when you came to learn of Christ. Christ died 2,000 years ago. You're not that old. I know some of you are old, but you're not over 2,000 years old. Your life was justified the day you were born. Life's justifying. It's so important to put that in there. For life's justifying. Your entire life has been made right. Every single thing that you have done, even things that have led you, quote, astray, are necessary ingredients for coming to a realization of the truth because of the contrast principle. All the nasty stuff had to happen. It's all been justified. Everything you did has been justified. But what about the things I'm going to do in the future? Oh, gee, I don't know. Maybe the future, not so much. Oh, come on. Of course, everything in the future too. Life's justifying. I love that. It's not just justification. I mean, it is justification, but to say life's justifying, that makes it personal. That brings it to where we live. That brings it to every single event we've ever experienced. This is a great phrase. I love the Concordant version here. I just criticized the heck out of it for one just award, but for life's justifying, amen. You aced it there, Mr. Nock, A.E. Nock, the translator of the Concordant version. So I'm going to answer the question that I'm going to check out for today, but obviously we're going to continue this tomorrow, which I'm thrilled about. I love this topic. I love this truth. When does life's justifying kicked in? Ladies and gentlemen, it has already kicked in. It kicked in 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died, was entombed for 3 days, and rose from the dead. This is why God can say in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that he is currently not reckoning the world's offenses to them because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. God could not say that of the old humanity. Oh, I'm going to start tomorrow's show with this. This is so great. God could not say that of the old humanity. He had to do something about it. Okay, this is so powerful. I'm going to go into detail starting tomorrow, but in no way could God justify the old humanity. In God's bird's eye view, all humanity is now a new humanity. How the heck did that happen? Through the agency of one, capital O, through the agency of his son. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. All are sinners. Therefore, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, saved all sinners.